What struck me most, what I was so surprised with was how the good neighbor, we know the good neighbor policy as a phrase associated with Franklin Roosevelt as his treatment of Latin America. But it was also the phrase that they used as to get out the vote in his 1936 reelection. And it became a kind of, the Good Neighbor Leagues was set up as a counter to the Liberty Leagues, explicitly anti-fascist. They were meant to embody a certain kind of cultural pluralism and acceptance of the diversity of the nation, and they were understood explicitly as an alternative to the white supremacist Liberty Leagues, and they basically delivered the vote to Roosevelt. He won 20 million votes. He won more votes than any other human being in history up until that point, and he did so running on a policy of social democracy.
Greg Grandin, our guest for the hour, history professor at Yale University, Pulitzer Prize winning author, his new book, America, America, A New History of the New World. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
To KBOO, Portland.
Hey, KBOO listeners. Willamette Week is seeking nominations for their annual Best of Portland Readers Poll, and we need your help to show Portland what KBOO means to this community. From now through noon on Friday, April 25th, you can nominate us for Best Radio Station. Just head to KBOO.fm and click the Best of Portland banner to submit your nomination. Thank you for supporting your favorite community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from KBOO members and Grendel's Coffee Shop, located at East Burnside and 8th Avenue in Portland, featuring coffee, tea, sandwiches, and more. Information at grendelspdx.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, the Portland Auditor says city neglect of its roads and parks is a big liability.
The Port of Portland removes its social equity policy.
And, in national news, international students at a variety of U.S. colleges sue the Trump administration to remain in the country.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. I'm Althea Billings.
And I'm Josh Salem. Portland City Auditor Simone Reddy says Portland's poor maintenance of roads and parks is now a big financial liability for the city. Auditor Reddy just released her report, which says the city's been bad at keeping up with infrastructure maintenance and that now it's grown into a much bigger problem. She's calling on Portland leaders to address a, quote, crushing infrastructure funding gap across the city. She writes that much of the problems stem from the old form of Portland government. Under that system, different city bureaus were siloed away from each other and run by distinct commissioners. One city staffer was quoted in the report saying, quote, city leadership has also lacked the discipline to prioritize investing in our aging infrastructure, but rather diverted funding to programs or initiatives that are politically expedient. End quote. The auditor report also says the potential failure of things like sewer lines, playground equipment, and damaged roads are likely to have a bigger impact on low-income residents in historically underserved communities. The new city council and new form of government have a chance to change this, though. They're facing a big budget deficit this year, so finding funds for maintenance will be hard. But there's a much better chance the city can create a comprehensive plan to fix the problems. At a city council meeting today, councilors heard an ordinance to issue up to $80 million in bonds for some of these projects. They would go towards curb, ramp, and street improvement projects, including fixes related to Americans with Disabilities Act settlements.
The Port of Portland revokes their DEI policy over funding concerns related to the Trump administration's executive order against diversity, equity, and inclusion. The Port of Portland is in charge of the PDX airport and the shipping terminals in the city. During a special meeting for the board on Monday the 21st, President Katie Koba said the majority of public support was in favor of the social equity policy. It was adopted in 2018. The social equity policy required the port to have a social equity advisory team and take racial equity into account in their decision making. The port committed to, quote, identify and remove structural, systematic, and institutional barriers for historically underserved communities, end quote. It also created a framework for addressing disparities in contract awards. Port of Portland Executive Director Curtis Robin Hood opened the special meeting reminding the board members of a dredging contract with the Army Corps of Engineers that was enacted more than 40 years ago. This contract made the port a designated federal contractor, making Trump's anti-DEI order pertain to the port. The Port of Portland has not been served with a lawsuit and have not, to public knowledge, been contacted by the feds. Executive Director Robin Hood suggested cutting the DEI policy because of financial concerns. The port employs more than 10,000 people, with the vast majority employed at the PDX airport. The removal of the social equity policy affects these workers and contractors involved with the port. Elsewhere in the state, Oregon Governor Tina Kotek refused to sign off on a similar demand from the Department of Education to end DEI policy in Oregon schools.
At least 1,100 students at 174 colleges and universities have had their visas revoked or their legal status terminated since late March. Many are fighting back in court, some successfully. Federal judges around the country have issued orders to restore students' legal status, at least temporarily. Restraining orders have come from New Hampshire, Minnesota, Montana, Washington, Wisconsin, and here in Oregon. Judges have denied similar requests in some other cases because it was not clear the loss of status would cause irreparable harm. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said last month the State Department was revoking visas held by visitors who are acting counter to national interests, including some who protested Israel's war in Gaza and those facing criminal charges. But many affected students have been involved only in minor infractions. For others, it's altogether unclear why they were targeted. Some of the plaintiffs argued the government did not have legal grounds to terminate the student's status, speculating the government is trying to encourage these students to self-deport. Attorneys for the students have detailed mental and financial suffering. Many students have been afraid to leave their residences, concerned they would be detained, or worse. The government has told some individuals they could be deported to a country other than their own. The U.S. has argued the students did not suffer significant harm because they could transfer their academic credits or find jobs in another country.
Wildfires and the hurricane season are in the near future, just as those who predict potential weather disasters have been fired by the thousands. The Trump administration's federal workforce downsizing could have significant real-world consequences. Roz Brown has more in New Mexico.
New Mexico residents worried about wildfires, tornadoes, or other severe storms will have less reliable information this season following the massive downsizing of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Hundreds of climate workers at NOAA are gone after the U.S. Supreme Court reversed a lower court order that had temporarily halted their firings by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Speaking at a meeting of the U.S. House Natural Resources Committee, New Mexico Representative Melanie Stansberry said DOGE has left the agency in chaos and disarray.
Court cases, fired staff, the loss of scientists, and dismantled and partially dismantled government programs that will take years to restore and that will have life or death consequences for people on the ground.
The Trump administration plans to further downsize federally supported scientific research next year. This would cut most of NOAA's climate research, eliminate 10 laboratories, a global ocean monitoring program, and the Sea Grant program focused on marine research, terminating a network of 16 science consortiums involving 80 universities and research institutions across 33 states. Retired NOAA Deputy Undersecretary and former National Weather Service employee Mary Glacken argues the U.S. is at a serious risk of alienating the next generation of scientists, policymakers, and leaders, and upending alliances around the globe. She says there's no weather forecast produced in the U.S. that isn't dependent on NOAA.
This could not be a worse time of year. for what's happening. We have severe weather, and right now I fear that the only thing keeping us from real disaster is the heroic efforts of NOAA staff.
Last month, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem also said she plans to eliminate the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Since 1979, FEMA has provided leadership and financial assistance to support disaster recovery efforts, as well as training and education to enhance disaster preparedness. This is Roz Brown, New Mexico News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Donna Treed for Sentient.
Employees at the U.S. Department of Labor are not supposed to talk to journalists. In fact, Jin Han, the Chief of Staff of Secretary of Labor Lori Shaver DeRemer, warned employees not to talk to them. His memo said, quote, "Individuals who disclose confidential information or engage in unauthorized communications with the media may face serious legal consequences," end quote. Among those consequences could be, quote, "potential criminal penalties and immediate disciplinary actions, up to and including termination," end quote. Current and former Labor Department employees have spoken to the news media about harms they see resulting from the dismantling of portions of their agency. The Department of Labor enforces laws guaranteeing rights to a safe workplace, fair pay, and protections against discrimination. A Labor Department employee who requested anonymity for fear of retribution told ProPublica, quote, "It's very chilling. It's never a good look when you're telling people to never talk about what you're doing." Secretary Chavez DeRemer is a former Oregon congressional rep and mayor of Happy Valley.
The U.S. gave Ukraine and Russia terms for ending their war. The terms, including Ukraine giving up Crimea and the territory Russia has seized during the war and promising not to join NATO, were what Russia had asked for over a year ago. Ukrainian President Zelensky refused those terms, in part because surrendering Crimea would be, quote, unconstitutional. Trump said of Zelensky, quote, "He can have peace or he can fight for another 3 years before losing the whole country," end quote. Trump, Vice President Vance, and Secretary of State Rubio have all threatened that the U.S. would withdraw from the peace process if Ukraine didn't agree to their terms. Russia currently occupies over 18% of Ukraine.
The White House defends Defense Secretary Hegseth amid intense media scrutiny. Federal judges block efforts to dismantle U.S. international broadcasters. And major restructuring hits the State Department and rural programs. With those stories and more, it's Farah Siddiqui with 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We are not going to tolerate individuals who leak to the mainstream media. The Secretary of Defense is doing a tremendous job, and he is bringing monumental change to the Pentagon. We've seen a smear campaign since the moment that President Trump announced his nomination before the United States Senate. Let me reiterate, the president stands strongly behind Secretary Hegseth.
White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says President Donald Trump is standing behind Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, in spite of reports he's looking for a replacement. Hegseth used a public texting app to discuss sensitive military plans with his wife, brother, and personal lawyer. Secretary of the State Marco Rubio has announced a major overhaul of the State Department, cutting staff by 15% and consolidating over 100 bureaus. The administration has separately announced plans to scale back the agency's diversity, inclusion, and women's programs while slashing foreign aid. A federal judge is indefinitely pausing White House moves to dismantle U.S.-funded international broadcasters, including Voice of America and Radio Free Asia. The ruling mandates the reinstatement of staff and contractors. Trump will attend the funeral of Pope Francis Saturday in Rome. The first pontiff from the Global South will be remembered for advocacy on behalf of the environment, refugees, and victims of conflict. Columbia graduate, Palestinian activist, and legal Vermont resident Mohsen Mahdawi says he still believes in American democracy in spite of being arrested at a routine immigration meeting.
I'm staying positive by reassuring myself in the inevitability of justice and in the deep belief of democracy. This is the reason I wanted to become a citizen of this country, because I believe in the principles of this country.
Vermont Democratic Senator Peter Welch says he hopes to have Mahdawi released. Meanwhile, hundreds of international students studying in Texas are suing to stay in the country after losing their visas. A South Dakota bus tour hopes to call attention to the impact of federal funding freezes on farms, rural health care, and small communities. Madison Mayor Roy Lindsay says they're afraid of losing a pipeline project aimed at improving water quality.
It seemed like, you know, whoever's pushing the buttons are looking at numbers more than, you know, reality of what those departments actually mean.
Southern farmers say they just hope to survive low prices for commodities like soybeans and chaos in agriculture export markets. Mississippi State Extension Specialist Justin Calhoun is also a farmer.
We're in survival mode. Cut back in every way that we can. Try to make sure that, number one, we're sustaining our yield potential, but cut back on the extra unnecessary expenses just to try to make it through to next year.
I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth interview with KBOO's Barbara Bernstein about an upcoming screening of her new documentary, Chasing Chimeras, The Lure of Deceptive Climate Solutions. Then we'll speak with Dr. Diane Kaufman about the Create Resilience Art Contest for Oregon youth to share their creative voices and help prevent suicide. Stick around at 6, it's The Underground, produced by KBOO's own youth collective. Then at 8, Life During Wartime. Tonight's weather will be clear with an overnight low of 43 degrees. Tomorrow's weather will be sunny with a high of 76. On this day in 1516, today in history, Duke Wilhelm IV instituted the Reinheitsgebot, the German beer purity law, which stated that beer sold in Bavaria can only be brewed from three ingredients: water, malt, and hops. The quote of the day is from Abraham Lincoln, who said, quote, "I am a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis. The great point is to bring them the real facts and beer."
An Indigenous Community Center in Rapid City, South Dakota is 10 years in the making, but there's still work to do. With that story and more, it's Brian Bull with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Over a decade has passed since the initial proposal of a Rapid City Indigenous Community Center. Now, at last, it approaches reality with a looming hearing and fundraising push. SDPB's CJ Keene reports.
It's a project well over 70 years in the making, a community center catering to the large Indigenous population of the Black Hills while offering other community members a place to learn and engage. Shante Hart is the executive director of Heisapa Otipi, the organization seeking to build this center. While they have 6 acres and $9 million in Vision Fund grant money, the work isn't yet finished.
We do need to match the funds in order to access them, so we're launching our capital campaign. And right now we are raising $3 million to access those funds. It's primarily for construction only.
Hart says this represents a chance at community healing.
All the way back to the Winona Club, for a group of grandmothers who cared about their community, who wanted a better community because of the high tension between race relations in Rapid City, there never really was a great relationship between Natives and non-Natives. So we believe it's up to us as the new generation to create a new relationship in Rapid City. We thank all of the grandmothers and those who created efforts to create a community center that's been long needed for over 70 years.
The Winona Club had long advocated for a center of this kind in the mid-20th century, alongside the Sioux Addition Civic Association. Heisapa Otipi seeks to at last complete that vision.
It's really going to bring our community together and showcase and highlight our culture, that we're alike more than we are different, because we all want a better future for our children. We want a safe place for our families to grow up and to raise our children. That's something that we all have in common. And so I think this place will really highlight what our Lakota values and what we practice every day, because it's really important that we share our Lakota ways with our community.
The plot of land is found just north of the Uptown Rapid Shopping Mall, and the time frame is dependent upon funding. A link to additional information about the center can be found online. For National Native News, I'm CJ Keene in Rapid City.
Joe Whittle, a Native American photojournalist, is promoting a land-back movement across the U.S. for territory ceded or taken during colonization. Whittle is a member of the Caddo Nation of Oklahoma and descendant of the Delaware Nation. A former backcountry wilderness ranger for the U.S. Forest Service, he's proposing that the federal government return public lands due to violating every treaty signed with indigenous peoples. He says another reason is that traditional ecological knowledge can benefit the environment.
Data shows that indigenous people are better and more sustainable stewards of the land than private industry or the United States government has ever been, due to how deeply embedded in U.S. politics private industry has become on public lands.
Whittle's argument recently appeared in Time magazine. He's hoping an inspired attorney might take the federal government on and force a settlement similar to the Cobell versus Salazar lawsuit in 2009, where the government was found to have violated its trust duties to tribes. And on this day in 1701, William Penn, proprietary and governor of the province of Pennsylvania and territories, and several regional tribes, including the Iroquois, jointly established what's known as the Articles of Agreement. The purpose was to determine territories and form cooperation between both the native people and the early British settlers of the territories. Penn was a Quaker fleeing religious persecution in England, who felt it was beneficial to negotiate and work with the tribes. This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull.
Self-storage facilities in New Jersey are generating solar energy for the community. The rooftops are covered in solar panels. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. At a self-storage facility in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, row after row of storage units are blanketed with solar panels. Steve Potter is with Extra Space Storage, which owns the facility. He says buildings like storage facilities, big box stores, and warehouses often have huge open rooftops that can be ideal for solar. Using that space for solar can be especially valuable near urban areas where vacant land is scarce.
You're not eating up that ground to put solar panels on. You're using space that's already being used for something else.
His company has installed solar panels on more than 800 of its facilities to offset the building's electricity use. But at Egg Harbor and eight other New Jersey facilities, Extra Space Storage leases its rooftops to Solar Landscape, a company that runs community solar projects. The arrangement gives Extra Space Storage another source of revenue while helping provide affordable clean energy to local households.
It makes us a good community partner, and people want to be involved with us for a longer period of time.
So the sprawling rooftops of commercial buildings can be used to offset companies' own energy needs and help increase community access to solar energy. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Spring is here in Oregon, and a changing climate means more sneezing and itchy eyes for allergy sufferers. Isabelle Charlet spoke with some experts who offer tips on how to cope with allergies and support children.
Oregon's pollen season is starting earlier and lasting longer thanks to climate change, with research showing airborne pollen levels increasing over 20% in the last 30 years. Dr. Shyam Joshi with OHSU says right now Oregon is in tree pollen season, with grass pollen season right around the corner. He explains the grass seed production in the Willamette Valley means Oregon has unusually high levels of grass pollen. About 1 in 5 children suffer from seasonal allergies, and Joshi says it is important to take them seriously.
We often brush off allergies as, oh, it's just allergies, but it can really cause issues with learning. Even in the classroom, we see kids' grades drop off because they're so preoccupied with their itchy nose or itchy eyes.
Joshi adds, if you or your child is allergic to pollen, keep the windows closed while driving or inside and use air purifiers in the house to remove any pollen that's gotten in. He says medications like antihistamine, nasal sprays, tablets, or liquids are helpful. With more than 60 million Americans suffering from seasonal allergies, researchers are always developing new treatments. Immunotherapy, which can change the body's immune response to allergens, includes allergy shots. In recent years, the FDA has approved sublingual tablets that can treat reactions to grass pollen, ragweed, and dust mites. Dr. Gregory Carnevale with United Healthcare says to check with your doctor to keep up with the latest treatments.
One of the values of seeing a healthcare professional is some of these newer medications can oftentimes have less side effects.
Joshi says people are suffering suffering more from allergies now than they did in the past, in part because of increased CO2 in the air. He explains because plants love CO2, higher amounts trigger them to produce more pollen. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
Now we go to The Point Puzzle, a weekly radio brain teaser produced by Pearl Stark at KPOV Bend. On this edition, wordplay and yard work.
It's time for the puzzle.
We had a couple of holidays last week, so I asked you to take a figure associated with one of them and remove the last letter to get a figure associated with the other holiday. Well, the answer, of course, is Easter and Passover, and the figures are rabbit and rabbi. This was a popular puzzle this week, and our randomly selected winner is Yusuf Samor, who listens to WUTC in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Mr. Rabbit, Mr. Rabbit, your ears are mighty long. Yes, don't you know they were put on wrong? Every little soul's gonna shine, shine.
I've been working in my garden this week, cleaning and weeding and dealing with all the things that I decided not to deal with in the fall. So I've been thinking about things that poke and scratch. Take something in a garden that pokes in one syllable. Add an E and rearrange the letters to get another thing in the garden that pokes in two syllables. So again, start with one thing in a garden that pokes, add an E and rearrange the letters to get another thing in a garden that pokes. When you have an answer, send your name, your answer, and the station on which you hear the puzzle to puzzle@kpov.org. I'll select one winner from among any answers received by this Saturday. This has been Pearl Stark with your Point Puzzle for the week of April 21st. The Point Puzzle is produced at KPOV, High Desert Community Radio.
KBOO news poet Dan Raphael prefers a government that's, well, competent.
A belligerent letter sent to Harvard accidentally. A man sent to prison hell by administrative error. Secretary Hegseth leaking to friends and family. The IRS had three different leaders in 1 week. Kristi Noem is the administration's action Barbie. Ginsburg wrote, "It occurs to me that I am America, and Trump firmly believes he is America. To challenge him is to threaten the nation. That's not a poetic device. That's megalomania. America first means Trump first. Make Trump great again is ridiculous, since he's never been great. Trump's either constantly lying or delusional. He's also so inconsistent and unpredictable, he's worrying the financial powers, and they're looking elsewhere for a stable deal. Make America second class again. And since he's such a great communicator, he wants to eviscerate the State Department, closing embassies, especially withdrawing from Africa. Let the Chinese have it. Maybe presidents, like most federal employees, should be probationary to start so they can easily be gotten rid of. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news, stories, and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Josh Salem, Dan Raphael, and Dejon. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Ray Bodwell. Special thanks to Roz Brown, Brian Bull, Isabel Charlet, Farah Siddiqui, Pearl Stark, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Althea Billings.
And I'm Josh Salem. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KABU to 44321. Stay tuned now for KABU News in Depth.
KABU News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KABU News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. Joining me in the studio now is Dr. Diane.